Hey everyone, Adam Burke here with a quick update before we jump into today's episode. I have been busy wrapping up season one of The Magic City. We'll be closing out season one at the end of 2025. Next year, from January until June, Kirby Bennett and Jamie Wanzek will bring you season two of the podcast. And meanwhile, Magic City Studios will be launching another project early next year as well. It is called The Territories, and it's part of Colorado's statewide effort to commemorate history in 2026. The story you're about to hear is actually the pilot episode of this new project. You'll be hearing more about The Territories soon, and you can find out details on the project website, theterritories.net. As always, you can keep up with The Magic City at our project website, themagiccity.org. You can also follow us on Instagram and Facebook. Okay, here is today's episode. You might believe, as many people do, that crab apples are too sour to eat. But that's just because most of us don't really know apples.
Adults pick up on the tart, kids pick up on the sugars in an apple, and this is a phenomenal quality crab apple.
Somewhere in the hilly farmland north of Cortez, Colorado, Jude Schunemeyer walks to the base of a tree called a transcendent crab.
It's sort of a golf ball-sized apple, got a tartness, high sugar content. You can park a kid in front of one of these trees and they will not leave it. One of my kids' favorites, hands down.
Schunemeyer is a certified apple nerd in southwest Colorado, and he runs the Montezuma Orchard Restoration Project with his wife, Addie. Standing in front of the transcendent crab, he gazes lovingly up at the tree's witchy branches.
It's a big, big tree. It's sort of cracked in the center. The tree itself is probably 2 to 3 feet in diameter. And if you look down on the left side there, you can see the graft line. You see the actual physical scar from where Jasper Hall grafted this tree 100-and-something years ago. And Jasper Hall died here in 1915. You know, this tree is at least 110, and it could be 125 years old now, but it's still here.
In the late 1800s, a man named Jasper Hall started experimenting with different varieties of apple trees in this part of the state. He had orchards, he ran a nursery, and he shared his apple knowledge with anyone who was interested.
He was generous. He was like the trees themselves. You know, he gave and gave and gave. Because of his vision, we had an orchard economy here, growing some of the best quality produce ever grown anywhere.
Today, those efforts seem like a dead end. The orchard economy is almost gone here, and Jasper Hall's name is all but forgotten. On today's episode, we look at the history found in the old orchards of southwest Colorado and one man's quest to turn the region into an apple mecca. Was Jasper Hall's life just an historic footnote, or was he a visionary ahead of his time? As with a lot of history, it depends on who you ask.
He was born right before the Civil War and grew up in the poverty after the war.
Jasper Hall was raised in the western foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. His family grew fruit trees there. But he didn't come to Colorado to plant orchards, at least not initially.
They came from Greene County, Tennessee.
Sheldon Zwicker is 80 years old and the great-grandnephew of Jasper Hall. In the 1880s, Zwicker says Hall joined other family members in the San Juan Mountains above Ophir, Colorado, where they established a mining camp.
The Halls were gold miners, and there were 13 in the Hall family in those camps. But they got diphtheria, and out of the 13, five of them come out alive.
Jasper Hall and his older brother Norman were among those five survivors. Losing so many family members so quickly must have been a very harsh lesson.
They died off up there trying to mine gold and not getting rich, and all of a sudden they decided there's something we know that we can do, and it ain't mining gold.
The brothers moved south to Montezuma County.
They kind of went back to their roots and started doing what they were raised doing and what they knew how to do.
They first planted orchards in the sandstone canyons west of Cortez, but soon Jasper Hall had his eyes on the hills north of the city. It was a gutsy move to plant apple trees at an elevation that might be too cold.
We are high altitude. We're probably 6,800 feet. This is really high for apple production. It's as high as anyone has ever attempted commercial apple production anywhere. But Jasper Hall was the person that understood that the Montezuma Valley was a dish and that cold air will flow down to the bottom of the dish. And that if you put orchards around this higher band, these shelves, these shoulders, slough the cold air away from them.
But there was another good reason to grow apples on the shoulders of those hills. They were close to the Denver and Rio Grande's new railhead in Dolores.
So all you had to do was haul produce up the road through the canyon and down into Dolores where you hit the train.
He was only in his 30s at the time, but Jasper Hall's life experience growing apples allowed him to see things in that arid landscape that others could not see.
And he understood the ground. He understood that there was great soil here. This is as perfect an orchard spot as exists anywhere.
His orchards were diverse, and he planted apple varieties we wouldn't recognize today. There was the Transcendent Crab and the Winter Banana. There was an apple called the Shenango Strawberry, which ripened in the middle of summer. And there were winter apples like the Thunderbolt that got better in storage and could last all winter long in a root cellar.
Jasper Hall was considered the fruit wizard of Montezuma County. He was an exceptional grower.
In 1904, Montezuma County fruit brought home several gold medals from the World's Fair in St. Louis, and the orchards were flourishing.
If you would have ridden your horse across here in the early 1900s in May, you would have been riding through blizzards of apple blossoms.
But establishing a commercial apple economy in Montezuma County created a paradox, because it ultimately put growers in competition with apple producers everywhere. For decades following Jasper Hall's death in 1915, Montezuma County apple orchards continued to expand. But growers abandoned many of the heritage apple trees, and they focused on just a few varieties you can find in grocery stores today, the Jonathan, the Golden and Red Delicious. At first, commodity production helped them prosper.
When I was real young, apples was the main crop, the main living for people around here.
67-year-old Conrad Hover grew up harvesting apples with his mom and dad, just a mile down the road from where Jasper Hall had lived.
I mean, there was a lot of trees in this area, and people was making a living at it, doing what they loved to do.
But eventually, Montezuma County couldn't compete with the huge orchards in Washington State and overseas. 15 years ago, after decades of diminishing returns, Conrad Hover bulldozed most of his apple trees.
It got there for a while where you couldn't hardly get rid of the apples and just wasn't really worth messing with them. And the last year, I ended up packing 1,200 bushel of apples out and fed to the cows, and I had enough.
There are just a few hundred acres of apple orchards left in Montezuma County, and just a few of the old trees hanging on. But the ground, the apple-loving earth, is still here. Jude Schunemeyer opens a gate at the headquarters of the Montezuma Orchard Restoration Project, the same land where Jasper Hall built his apple operation in the early 1900s.
When Jasper Hall lived here, everything we see below us for 45 acres was orchards.
The pasture now has dozens of tiny young apple trees, each one grafted from a cutting collected around southwest Colorado. Many of these varieties are quite rare, and some may be entirely unique.
This is a genetic bank. You know, this is our little ark. From this orchard, we're able to take these cultivars and get them back out to other new orchards. Without this place, these are not easy to bring back.
The Montezuma Orchard Restoration Project is focused on saving the heritage varieties of apple trees that were grown here in the early 1900s. And the project promotes growing apples the way Jasper Hall did, diverse orchards with fruit you can't find in grocery stores. It's a niche, Jude Schunemeyer says, can be profitable, even on small acreage. We head to a warehouse where Schunemeyer shows off a mobile juice press. It's a crucial piece of equipment that they hope will ensure revenue for local apple growers.
We realized years ago that if we were going to rebuild the fruit economy here, if we were going to get people to plant the next generation of 100-year-old trees and to take care of the old trees they had, we had to have a market for the fruit. Without this, we can't tie together everything that needs to be tied together to rebuild the economy.
In 20 years, the restoration project has had plenty of success. There are even little green shoots of an apple economy coming back here, like local cider makers willing to buy fruit. But rebuilding a regional apple economy in 2025 is hard, really hard. And there are some who believe it's impossible.
Most of our best growers are dead now, you know, or they're too old to do anything. So we're putting Humpty Dumpty back together again.
And even if they do put Humpty Dumpty back together, it's not clear that consumers will care. Most of us think we already know apples. They're something we buy at the grocery store. And if you've never tasted a transcendent crab, you have no idea what you're missing out on.
We've had apples that taste like wild honey, like curry. We've had apples that taste like butterscotch. We have apples that taste like vanilla. You get some that taste like sweet tarts. I mean, so many different subtleties depending on where they're grown. Consumers have gotten themselves to settle on just a few very basic varieties, and they miss out on so much of what's out there.
Jude Schunemeyer is not deterred by all of these obstacles. He is an ardent apple evangelist. He is a true believer.
The old Jasper Hall style orchards are absolutely a blueprint for how orchards can be grown in the future. He showed us what was possible here. If this place sucked, these trees would not be alive here 100 and something years later, okay? But they are here. That is as living of a testimony as you can have to how right he was about what he was doing. To have this body of work, to have this much experimentation, this many trials, this much heartache, this was a gift. Apple growing, the orchards of Montezuma County are a gift to us.
The trees Jasper Hall left behind, the records he kept, the arc of his life story, you could see them as an historic dead end. You can also see these pieces of history as a map of what's possible here. A map that Jasper Hall rolled up more than 100 years ago, slipped into a bottle, sealed with a cork, and set adrift. A map that just might find its way into the future. This episode comes to the Magic City from The Territories, a new audio history project produced by Magic City Studios in partnership with KSUT Public Radio. You can find out more on the project website, theterritories.net. Support for this pilot episode of The Territories comes from the Southwest Colorado Local Organizing Committee, working to commemorate Colorado's 150th anniversary of statehood. You can find out more online at colorado150southwest.org. Support for the Magic City of the Southwest comes from the Red Line Arts in Society program based in Denver, Colorado, and the City of Durango's Lodgers Tax Fund. Special thanks this time to Jude and Addie Schunemeyer, Sheldon Zwicker, John Bunker, Ellen Roberts, and Ellen Babers. Thanks also go out to Tammy Graham, Ken Brott, and Mark Dugan at KSUT, and to Tommy Crosby and Catherine Wagner with the City of Durango's Lodgers Tax Fund. For more information about the Magic City podcast, please visit our website, themagiccity.org. I'm Adam Burke. We will see you next time for more stories of the Magic City.